Biologists are still not sure exactly how the warm water blob is affecting salmon up and down the West Coast.
You know, a thing we need to kind of think about is warm water in Alaska is really different than warm water in California.
That's Brian Beckman, a research fishery biologist at the Northwest Fisheries Science Center in Seattle.
Warm water in California can be so warm that it's actually injuring the fish, whereas warm water in Alaska, it just means it's abnormally different, and maybe the ecosystem is different, but it's still a comfortable place for fish to be.
Beckman was one of the organizers of the Salmon Ocean Ecology Meeting in Juneau in March, which featured biologists and researchers from California to Alaska. Because of differences in the life cycles and migration patterns of the five Pacific Ocean salmon species, Beckman says it's impossible to immediately determine how the blob is affecting salmon abundance, run timing, growth, forage habits, and complicated predator-prey relationships.
It's really hard to talk about salmon runs all across the coast in any one single focus because they all do kind of different things. So yeah, the blob does not have one specific effect across all salmon stocks.
So why would any of that information be important? The $414 million answer to that question comes from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. That's the dock price paid for all salmon harvested last year. In addition, the McDowell Group of Juneau says Alaska salmon fisheries generate $840 million in income for well over 18,000 direct jobs. Joe Orsi, fisheries research biologist at the Ted Stevens Marine Research Institute in Akabe, explains why they bother with researching salmon biology and do modeling or run simulations to predict Alaska salmon abundance, run timing, and even size of the fish.
You confront the stakeholders and say, this is what we think is going to happen, and you interact with the industry people, and these are when the decisions are made.
They include decisions by state fisheries managers who plan the timing and length of the openings, the processors which dispatch tenders and hire outside help to work in the plants, and the fisherman who must budget his or her expenses and figure out how many deckhands to hire. Orsi says they're not sure if it was the blob's presence in the Northeast Pacific that threw a monkey wrench into their modeling for last year's salmon runs. Overall, last year's pink harvest in southeast Alaska fell well short of predictions, with runs in the southern part of the panhandle failing badly. Another big question is whether El Nino or equatorial warming has encouraged other species to wander north.
And, of course, we have unknown ecological impacts of the subtropical fish species that were occurring in the Gulf of Alaska, the tuna, sunfish, pressure sharks. And we don't know if it's going to be increased competition or predation as a result of those.
In order to get a better handle on what is happening, researchers have created a coastwide database that will visually show how the blob is affecting various salmon runs. Brian Burke, a research fishery biologist at the Northwest Fisheries Science Center in Seattle, helped design it.
This could be a good way to summarize when and where did the blob impact salmon. The fact is, we don't know yet because a lot of the salmon that were in the blob have not returned yet.
And some of those fish that have not returned yet are mature Copper River reds. It's traditionally the very first commercial salmon fishery of the year. They could start arriving sometime in mid-May. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.